The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this episode of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and thanking you for your support once again and your continued listenership. And we'll continue on with the conversation that I had with Matteo Lazzari. And with no further ado, here we continue on. Enjoy. Going to go back a little bit to the early part of the schedule. Talk about Italian skiing. The Junior Worlds comes up as the first major event of the season. Now, I don't know whether you have much knowledge about the Italian junior team, but maybe you can fill in a little bit of the knowledge gap of what we would expect from the Italians come those World Championships starting on the 1st of April in Argentina.
Well, I don't know officially who's in the team, so I hope not to blunder much, but I know the junior scene in Italy quite well. There are two sisters from Cortina, where the Olympics are going to be soon. Uh-huh. Their name are Michaela and Scarlett Graham, very good overall skiers.
Yeah, I've seen them in the European Championships. Yeah, they're very good.
Scarlett is young, she's 14, 15, but she's already, you know, a little miser in the making, if I may say.
A little miser in the making, yeah, I like that.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of vibe I've been receiving by watching her, by hearing her speak about jumping, and obviously an insanely strong snow skier. So, you know, someone that benefits, kind of like Florian from that upbringing. So them two, and then Alessandro Schonauer, slalom specialist from Naples. I know he's headed to the United States soon to start preparing those worlds. And then I am assuming Maria Sole Boldini. Maria Bianca Boldini, overall skier, also young. So it will be a pretty young junior team, actually. I don't think we have a lot of those like 17-year-old second junior worlds type of skiers, but I would suspect that's the team.
The Graham name certainly is definitely up there. You know, I've seen them ski, at least one of them ski in the European Championships, and she definitely looks in pretty good form. So I look forward to seeing some good stuff from the Graham sisters there in Argentina to get the event up and running. But I'm glad that you mentioned the Olympics are coming up, the Winter Olympic Games coming up in Milano, Cortina. Now, I know you're all the way in Thailand right now, so about as far removed as you're going to be from winter sports. But what I can tell you a little bit is, I mean, I was in Italy during the summer for a good portion of the summer. I mean, the World Championship, San Gervasio, whole bunch of other types of traveling going to and from places in Italy, you know, mostly around Milan, but I kind of got the vibe that there wasn't much of a vibe so far as the Winter Olympics was concerned. There was hardly any publicity about it, and now we're approaching February, or actually in February by the time that this podcast episode is released, and it's here, and it's I'm not hearing much. I'm not even hearing that much on NBC in the United States, you know. So what's up with that?
I don't know. I agree with you. The vibe that I've had even up until past Christmas, so I came here on the 27th of December, is that there wasn't much of a vibe. I agree. I don't know if it's because it's one of those that it's split. So Milan will take the ice events and Cortina will take the snow events. Maybe they're in two different regions. They're 5 hours away. I don't know if that contributes to maybe like, you know, the little bit of dissonance. I do recall that Turin in 06 seemed to have a bit more of a publicity effort. It seemed to be more felt. But then again, it's the Olympics, Tony. So, you know, we're getting close to the start, you know. Maybe 5 days, a week before the event, everything will start to flare up and then, you know.
And then fizzle out completely after the closing ceremony, as typically those things do, you know.
Exactly, exactly. An intense 3 weeks. But going back to the Junior Worlds, I do have knowledge of those worlds on a different angle than the Italian water ski team. A lot of the skiers that train at Jolly regularly are headed their way. So, you know, Maya Leonard, Lars Kuhne, Theo Wild. And then I had the opportunity to ski a little bit here with Consti Attensam and Andreas Constantino, who are very good slalom skiers, tall slalom skiers. Tall.
Yeah.
Man, like, they're 16, they're, you know, what would it be, 6'4", 6'5"? I mean, it's unbelievable. I felt like an old dwarf next to them, but it's an exciting world.
That's not easy. That's not easy to do. That is definitely not an easy thing to do, to stand up taller than you, unless you're Nick Parsons or Stephen Neveu.
But man, these kids nowadays, they're tall, they're committed. It's really cool to see this. You know, like, I think the Junior Worlds for any passionate water skier is a window into the next generation, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, water skiing is in very exciting, good hands with these new skiers. So I'm looking forward to watch these worlds, Junior Worlds. Obviously, I'll be rooting for the skiers that ski with us on the regular. And it's in Argentina at a new site, but that already has not only organizing experience, but very experienced people behind it. I'm thinking about Pato Zohar. I'm looking forward to watch this. It's during Easter week, so I'll be in the boat a lot, but I'll hide the webcast, you know, at the bottom of the boat, and I'll keep an eye on that tournament.
And of course, the webcast will be brought to you exclusively live on TWBC. Just got to throw that one out there, just for good measure. So that is going to be from April the first, all the way to April 5th. So make sure you pencil that in. You talk about the world so far as the juniors are concerned, and I do thank you for listing a few more names other than the Italians that you get to you get the opportunity to train with during the season. Now, let's talk about the worlds, the elite worlds, next year, because from what I've been able to ascertain, having talked to someone like Tim Veld and Freddie Winter on the previous episode, they're going to be pretty much, you know, wanting to shut things down by the time October comes around. You know, the first weekend in October is going to be like the last competition of the season, which is the Miami Pro, you know, and beyond that, they're going to go into hibernation and try and get ready for the World Championships in Australia next year in February. A good strategy from someone who's involved with sports psychology and prepping ski as well.
I think, you know, yeah, I guess I think it really comes down to the intensity of their 2026 season. And those two are very good examples. You have Freddie, who skis all pro tournaments available to any human being. You have Tim, who, despite not being a worldsier, is probably going to ski a lot of those overall tournaments, you know, the world water skiers overall tournaments. So they're both going to have very intense and summer seasons. It makes sense, in order not to arrive completely burnt out to the world, to take a bit of a break. Someone like, if I have to put the case on myself, being that I don't get to ski as many tournaments as they do, I've been wondering whether I should try to push, you know, to just do a full year of skiing. So you know, saying from now until February of next year. Doesn't been really clear to me. Maybe I'll pace myself a little bit more with smaller breaks throughout the year, but sort of never really stop. But I'm not clear about it yet, I'll be honest.
Yeah, there are some other tournaments in between now and then. I mean, we actually missed a whole bunch of them. You know, we kind of stopped a little bit at the Portuguese Pro, but I mean, there are some other tournaments, some title tournaments, as a matter of fact. There's the European Open Championship, which is scheduled to be in Poti in the Republic of Georgia. Going all the way to like the first weekend in August, and then prior to that, there's actually the Poti Pro, which will be repeating his past successor from last season over there at that wonderfully strange facility over in Poti.
Right. No, I'm looking forward to go. I mean, obviously, Gennady took priority on that one last year because, you know, that's home. But it was a fun conversation, Tony. I was like, look, there's a pro tournament in Georgia. That's yours. Like, I'm not going to
interfere. Yeah, I mean, any event that promises to produce like a 50-foot-wide banner of you skiing and being propped on the spectator stand, you know, obviously has to get his vote.
But the funny story, there's a little backstory to that, because I think that has been up regardless of the pro tournament. And Devani, Gennady's son, was back in Georgia with his family on a little vacation and stopped by the ski club. And imagine him seeing this mega picture of his dad, you know, because, okay, I guess, you know, dad is pretty famous here. But no, I look forward to go, you know, I'm hoping to do both the pro tournament and the Europeans. Again, if I can swing it, I'll do both. If not, probably the Europeans will take precedence.
Now, obviously, we've touched upon the tournaments that are part of the Water Ski Pro Tour, your tournament, and we may be looking at the PKB Pro-Am and Richedo Pro-Am and Portuguese Pro and what have you. But
Monaco? We haven't talked about Monaco.
No, we haven't talked about Monaco. Absolutely right. Thank you for reminding me on that one. You know, it's a memorable tournament for a lot of positive reasons, like last season, like Charlie Ross getting one of his first pro wins, and then obviously you look at the other half, and then you've got Freddie Winter who redeemed himself quite a bit, you know, to kind of shake that beast that was hanging on his shoulders a little bit with that tournament. But Monaco.
Yeah, Monaco. And, you know, I was there at the inaugural edition, which was 23. They've had two more successful seasons since. I was thinking about it like not too long ago. It's not easy to become a classic after 3 years, you know? Like, they've only had three editions, and now Monaco is like one of those tournaments that it's you want to go, you want to win, you want to do well. So that's another big one for the summer, for sure.
Indeed. Now, I was about to get into the next subject, which is the Nautique World Series. I mean, it's the talk. It's the thing that's on everyone's lips right now among the pro skiers. You know, the actual series doesn't officially start until everyone gets back into the northern Western Hemisphere with the qualification series and then the Masters, and then they go through all the tournaments during the summer, and then it links into the Moomin Masters for next year, you know. But I'm in a little bit of two minds about it, because I do have affinity for the Water Ski Pro Tour, you know. I mean, that they're putting in a lot of hard work to try and get a unified series together to try and push the sport forward. And then you've got Nautique coming in with a whole truckload of money, you know, to award to each of those that places high enough in each tournament, and then a little bit of a bounty at the end, you know. So I'm in a little bit of two minds on this one. I mean, sway me one way or the other, Matteo.
I don't see, like, I imagine me when I saw that news, being one of those that, you know, founded Water Ski Pro Tour with the others. I'm not in one way or the other mindset, but I guess after a couple of months from that announcement, I have a clearer vision of what they did. And the vision is that, to me, the most important thing about that announcement was there is a new pro tournament. There's a new cash prize tournament in Canada.
Yeah, Predator
that
Bay.
That didn't exist before. Which, I mean, Predator Bay has had many pro tournaments in the past, but hasn't had one in a while. If this series resulted in the addition of one tournament, so be it. Because the other tournaments already existed, of course, now they will have Tricks and Jump. Of those that didn't have Tricks or Jump, so I'm thinking Botas will have Jump, California Pro-Am will have Tricks. But beyond that, and then of course the cash prize at the end, but beyond that, you know, what have they added? Not so much, you know?
Yeah, you gotta look a little bit, you know, look into the fine print at the bottom, you know, and see if it's given the boost to the sport, or whether it's left it pretty much the same as it was before, you know?
Yeah, look, it depends what skiers prefer. I know there is a portion of the skiers around the world that think that the tournaments are too many, and it'd be best to have fewer tournaments with bigger cash prize. I completely disagree with that approach. I think he's narrow-minded and selfish. I think that, you know, the more tournaments there are, the better. And then you, according to your level, select the tournaments you should go participate in. If you think of the bigger sports, it's not that there are only the four Grand Slams. There are an insane amount of cash prize tennis tournaments. And then if you're Jannik Sinner, you're just going to select your six per year. If you are number 500 in the world, you're still going to have your six or eight that you push for. They're just not going to be the same as Jannik Sinner. So with that in mind, does the Nautic series lend to more tournaments? So far, one more. I do know that the Water Ski Pro Tour over the years has made it possible for other tournaments to happen. Even if just with encouragement and a bit of clarity about how a tournament should proceed. But, you know, I think it'd be fair to say that with the exception of us, because we precede the Water Ski Pro Tour, all the other Water Ski Pro Tour tournaments wouldn't have happened if there wasn't such a thing called Water Ski Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
So Monaco, Portugal, Oxford, Morocco, Recepto, PKB, you know, Caiaphas. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of my take on the thing. Now, if this Nautic series will lend to a series of events, there will be, you know, lower cash price, higher cash price, you know, and more and more tournaments will arise. I doubt it, but that would be much welcome. But so far, you know, if I have to stick by my argument, they have nevertheless added one tournament that didn't exist before. So
yeah,
that's good.
And then there's the overall tour, which we haven't seen a schedule for yet, that has been hanging around for the last few seasons, you know, with some support from the likes of Red Bull and what have you, you know, so for the overall skiers. So this could be one of the most congested seasons pretty much ever in terms of pro skiing, when you factor in the overall tour, the World Series by Nautic, and the Water Ski Pro Tour. So by the time it comes around to October, these skiers will definitely need that rest prior to the World Championships next season. Certainly. I mean, I don't see any other way around it.
All they need to learn to be selective, like any proper individual professional sport athlete has to be. So you see, like, to me, that's good. I think it'd be better if there was double the amount of events that they're going to be this year. But then your Freddie Winters shouldn't ski the same events that, you know, someone like me maybe would ski, or someone who's starting in the pro scene would ski. I'm very like, if I hold on to some certainty, Tony, that the certainty is the more tournaments, the better.
Mm-hmm. More is better.
You know, for all those, more is better. And it's a sign of a healthy sport, as opposed to some naysayers that I keep hearing saying that the sport is not doing well. Well, look at the tournament calendar. Look at, you know, it's a good metric to assess whether the sport is doing well or not.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't even seen the Wakeboard Pro calendar right yet, but I think they're going to be hard pushed to get anywhere close to the amount of tournaments that the water skiing's putting out there for its elite competitors right now.
Yeah. Actually, so not too far from Bangkok, actually 45 minutes from Sathorn, there's a Thai wake park, which I'd heard many things about. It's allegedly one of the best wakeboard parks in the world. So I stopped by during my journey here, and impressive facility. I was shocked by the quality of, you know, infrastructure, organization. And basically the whole Italian wakeboard team was there training.
Oh.
So I had a chance to get a little sense of how wakeboarding is doing. And, you know, it's not doing bad, but they don't have the calendar we have. You know, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, then. I'm sure that you're chomping at the bit to get out into the water. There's a 13-hour time difference between where I am here in the United States. You know, well, as I'm talking to you right now, it's in the midway through January, just in case you're wondering when these things get recorded and what the turnaround time is. As I'm trying to ensure that there is fresh content every single week for 52 weeks, I'm going to have to kind of spread them out a bit, but yeah, I mean, it's about 9 o'clock here in the evening. What time is it over there in Thailand right now?
So it's 10 a.m. I'm in Bangkok at the moment, but tomorrow in 28 hours I'll be on the water. I'm headed to the gym right now.
Heading to the gym. And when do you actually make it back to Italy after your sojourn in Thailand?
I'll be back in Italy February 28th. By then, normally we open ski school March 1st. That's still the plan this year. And as I was explaining, we'll be using Lake 1 the first 2 weeks as they finish up Lake 2. But there's a lot to do also after the lakes are over. We're rebuilding Lake 1 slalom course. We're building Lake 2 slalom course. So it'll be basically being back to San Gervasio, you know, 14 hours a day at the lake straight away.
And I'm sure the good folks there, like Claudio Bonatti and Fedeli, who are there and as never present at a Jolly Ski, are doing pretty well as well. Actually, I wanted to ask you, how is Fedeli doing? You know, because he had a major health scare many, many, many seasons ago.
That's right. No, he's doing great. He's one of the lucky ones to have had such a rare condition and been diagnosed early. And despite it was a big scare for all of us, he has made it back. Like, he's skiing a lot. He's also back to one of his childhood passion, which is trial bikes.
Wow.
You know, the very light motocross motorbikes where you go up on the mountains, very balanced work. So he bought that 2 years ago, and he's now going around with old friends. Like, the same crew he had when he was 25, now they're all in their late 60s, and they're zipping around on the mountains. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's enjoying that as well right now. But it'll be, Michaela, my sister, will be here next week. Seems like Dad might be able to join as well. So it'll be fun to have the family skiing here.
Sounds good. And that brings to a conclusion this episode of the TWBC podcast. As I normally give people the opportunity right at the end to say thanks and acknowledge their supporters and what have you, I extend that same courtesy to you, Matteo Luzzeri.
Obviously, you know, my sponsors, HO, Aqua Flyer, the Italian water ski team, all my friends at Jolly. But I do want to spend 2 seconds thanking you, Tony. You know, I used to have a podcast as well. And doing an episode every week is an insane challenge. Like, I don't think people appreciate how difficult it is. I tried and I failed miserably. So I went to 2 episodes a month and eventually 1 a month. I commend you for doing this, and I know you're going to be able to pull off what I wasn't able to do.
Well, and don't sell yourself short, Matteo. I mean, the podcast that you produced with a number of friends over the years have definitely been enthralling and engaging content, you know. So, I mean, keep up the good work, and if you ever need any advice here and there about the adventures of trying to put on a weekly podcast, you know who to call. But there you go.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Tony.
No worries. No worries at all. And that concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. More episodes will be coming up, hopefully on a weekly basis. But for me, for now, it is ciao for now.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.